This is Andy S. You're listening to Just My Thoughts, and when I'm not tuned into the whole improv world and the mystical lands we travel to, I love listening to it.
Hey yo, hey yo, hey yo, personally I think I'm underrated if nothing else.
As I think of the nasty there is to come, I think of the verses that have come before, like flashes of wetness between skin on skin when pelvis meets pelvis. How I learned through a variety of lovers that no woman is the same. Flavors of ice cream dripping down my tongue in liquid form. Be forewarned, for this verse is not a poet braggadocio. This is fellatio, and being so deep inside your woman, your family jewels lay resting on her chocolate starfish. This is about chocolate layers on sugar walls, whipped cream and cherries. This is about fingernails breaking the skin above spines, bottom lip bites and sweet pain moans. This is about wobbly legs and trembling inner thighs, kidneys moving to the side, wet from sweat, milk and honey. Open mouths that glide over nipples and navels, ankles and toes, elbows, the cracks of apple bottoms and then apple jacks. This is about a powerful day of getting fucked like you stole something. A day where I was as gentle as you needed me to be. This is about dominance, submission, lust, and trust. You coming down my throat as I exhale hot breath through my nostrils onto your secret garden. This is about neck squeezes and ass slaps, deep penetration and breaking backs, bent limbs, euphoria, and ceiling fans evaporating wetness from sheets. Fingers so dangerously close to ground zero, it makes her take the slightest of pauses. Bouncing breasts reflected by moonlight, shining through drops of rain and storm. The word baby repeated by lips tired of sucking, and bodies exhausted from fucking. This is about rib cages expanding and contracting, housing hearts that beat like Latin rhythms. This is about connection and intimacy, transparency and expression, wet instructors and hard lessons, lust and one of its many manifestos. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dudes and dudettes, the sexy and not so sexy. I am the novelist of Pokemon, Anthony Wright, a.k.a. Graffiti Blue, and I have a special show for you. Rebecca Blanton's in the house. Home studios, home offices of Jubilee.com. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I've been looking forward to this.
Gosh, it's a hot summer day in June, and she's sipping the ice water. I'm drinking the ghetto flavored drink with no vitamins. There's no vitamins in this.
No.
We're talking about the funny thing about porn today, and you are an author and performer. I have seen you perform on a number of occasions, whether it be at Drunk Poetry with ZFG, mm-hmm. whether it's at Luna's. I think I saw you at one other spot. I can't be sure. You have been doing it. Would you like to tell the listeners out there kind of what you do and where you come from?
Sure. So I started performing and writing non-academically about two years ago. Prior to that, I was the executive director for the California Commission on the Status of Women and Girls, billed as the voice of women and girls of California.
Nice.
And then I took a very different voice of women and girls, and when I left that position, I started writing about kink. At the time, Fifty Shades of Grey, the first three novels were out and a big deal. And they were preparing to release the movie about a year from when I started writing.
Okay.
And, you know, there's enough commentary about Fifty Shades on plenty of other podcasts.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, Poet's Pursuit of Pleasure, my book, Fifty Shades of Grey wasn't the first to do it.
No,
it wasn't. You know what I mean? And interestingly enough, when corporate America decides that we're ready for something, or basically when they could make a profit, an obscene amount of profit off of it, that's what they'll get behind. But there has been a number of erotic kind of S&M erotic slash erotic writings out there. This isn't new.
No, this is far from new. And even with the movie coming out, that was far from new.
Right.
You know, my generation, we had 9.5 weeks.
The next
next generation had, you know, Wild at Heart and Blue Orchid and The Secretary. And that, like, it's been there. 50 Shades just became very popular. My biggest issue is the writing in and of itself. The technical writing is horrific.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's fan fiction.
Okay.
It's poorly written. It's repetitive short sentences. They use the same words over and over. So as a writer, it bothered me.
Absolutely. And they talk. They don't talk in a natural way that people would talk.
No, they don't.
You know what I mean? And people are caught up in the erotica more than the quality of storytelling in there. So you're not the first writer I have heard say that about 50 Shades.
Right. But it got out there, it got popular, and people started to explore, which is great. And for as much as I hate the technical writing of it, I was listening to Mistress Morgana out of San Francisco on the Massacast, and she pointed out that for as bad of a representation of the kink community as this is, and as much of an abusive relationship as this is, what it's allowed is people who had these desires and were ashamed of these desires to vocalize them. And which is completely legitimate.
Okay.
And I will say, yes, it has. But I wanted to be one of the people responding and saying, well, you've had that. Now let's talk about the real thing.
Oh.
And so I had a series of essays. I've always written, and it's how I process information.
Okay, gotcha.
So I had a series of essays on kink. I added to them, I expanded them, and I put out a book called Love Letters to a Unicorn that explains the role kink has played in my life and what I think everybody can get out of it, and what I think national policy can get out of it.
Wow.
Because I think there's some very good practices in the kink community that anybody benefits regardless of what you do in bed. For example, kink focuses heavily on the idea of consent. Right. And there's a belief in the kink community that everybody has an absolute right to protect their body, which is not something that we have in the larger culture.
Okay.
Right. And that you have a legitimate reason to stop any sexual activity for any reason. An emotional reaction, a physical need, you don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
And you have a right to do that. And I like that idea that everybody has that right to protect their body.
I like it too. And I find it kind of fascinating that we talk about consent, because I want to focus on that a bit. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dudes and dudettes, the sexy and the not so sexy, you know the title of the fucking show, man. It's called The Funny Thing About Porn. So we got to talk about funny things about porn. And two of the funniest things that I've found in my research about porn was, one, that porn is more popular or more viewed in religious areas, such as Hershey, Pennsylvania, Mormon country. And I'm not trying to disrespect any Mormons out there or anybody of any religious faith out there, but we are talking statistical facts. Another funny thing to me about porn is how everybody is familiar with what porn is. Everybody has at least seen it. But so many people kind of deny its existence. You know what I mean? And as in all things, it has its place. I think it's going a little crazy right now. I have my own theories about that, but what is funny to you about the porn industry?
So there's a bunch of stuff that's funny to me about the porn industry. One is that it rests on three or four basic premises. It's not a creative industry, largely.
Oh, okay.
Right? There's not, in mainline porn, there's not a huge diversity.
Right. No.
So if you are like most people and you have part of your sexuality that goes out of the range of the standard little box, you have to seek out something special. And you don't... Porn is a late adopter of beauty standards, so we now have the, you know, body positive movement, curvy girls, and that's still a subgenre specialty category of BBW.
Indeed.
And all of that.
And right.
And
big beautiful women.
Right. But porn also reflects a lot of our culture standards. It's incredibly racist. It's incredibly sexist.
Without question.
You're right. Like, you never see a black woman sleeping with anybody other than a black man unless it's in this weird interracial subgenre, and interracial is almost always black guy, white woman.
Absolutely.
And it's like, so it keeps reifying these things that are in our culture, and then you have little groups that try to break off, and you have a feminist porn movement, and you have people who bring, you know, other things to the table, but they're all kind of secreted away. Like, it's not okay to break out of what we've been told is culturally beautiful, culturally appropriate. And the other thing is, that kills me, is there a trends in sex? Like, this seems like the area of your life that shouldn't be trending.
Shouldn't it? Yes, you would think.
Right?
You know what I mean? But do you have an example of a trend?
Sure. So, anal sex has become very popular and fairly expected.
Without question.
Right. So, if your mother asked you the question, if all your friends stuck something in your butt, would you? The answer overwhelmingly culturally is, yeah, I'd stick something in the butt.
Right?
And it's not something that a huge number of people really enjoy all the time or want to practice all the time, but it's become so present in porn and so present in the cultural conversation. You know, my girlfriends who are still out on the dating scene and stuff say it's now just expected.
I have to agree with you on that. I mean, there are a lot of females out there that I'm hearing the anal conversation a whole lot more in within the last, I don't know, 4 to 7 years. It is talked about. I mean, chick will tell you that on a date. Like, okay, what are your likes and dislikes? And she'll be just like, don't touch my butthole, or please touch my... You know, it is crazy. I'm like, wow, I was really meaning that in the context of what you wanted for dessert.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know, why did you go there? Why did you go to the chocolate starfish so early?
And yeah, it's right up front anymore. And now pegging's now becoming a trend, and they're doing pegging classes where...
Pegging?
Yes, where women will wear a strap-on dildo and fuck her man up the ass.
Hold on, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dudes and dudettes, the sexy and the people on the receiving end of this peggy thing. You like what you like.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I like to drive. Some people like to sit in the passenger seat. Right. Some people like to sit in the back seat. Right. Some people get so car sick, they don't want to fucking go nowhere.
Right.
Pegging, really?
They are now offering classes around the country where women can go in and learn techniques, learn how to thrust, figure out how to use different types of harnesses.
Wow. I have to say, some of the lesbian scenes out there where the chick has a strap on and she's giving it to another chick, which I think is extremely hot, by the way, is, a lot of the chicks, even the most seasoned dildo wearer, does not know what the fuck she is doing.
Yes.
Wow. You're going to throw a hip out like that.
Well, you watch it, and all of a sudden you're like, and when you are the woman wearing one, you're like, I have a lot more respect from a man, because he's, like, putting in a lot more effort.
Hello! shout out to all the lumbar spines out there. L1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the sacroiliac joint. Humping ain't easy.
No.
It is not.
You have to make sure your heart is ready for this activity.
So, for all of you gingerbread girls out there, you know who the fuck you are. I'm just going to lay here like a fucking gingerbread cookie and smoke a cigarette, and you do all the work, and maybe...
Right.
Maybe if you make me come, I might make you a bologna sandwich.
Right.
Hump like we do. Respect the humper.
Right. Turn around, like fair play. Get up. Do your squats. If you need help installing, you know, bike handlebars above the bed, very tall.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. I think we need some music.
Go
because
for it.
We went the pegging and we're gonna let the mic cool off for a minute.
Sounds
and
good.
Hopefully our sponsors won't be that upset over the content. Well, you gotta deal with it, bitches. They should have never gave me my own show. We'll be right back after this.
I remember you was conflicted, misusing your influence. Sometimes I did the same.
When I'm here, these walls never could hold up. Every time I come around, demolition might crush. Defense mechanism is my decision. Knock these walls down, that's my religion. Wall feeling like they ready to close in. I suffocate, they catch my second wind. I resonate in these walls. I don't know how long I could wait in these walls. I've been on the streets too long. Looking at you from the outside in. They sing the same old song about how they was always the cleanest. I beg to differ, I must have missed them. I'm not involved, I'd rather diss them. I'd rather guard on you, put your wall up. Cause when I come around, demolition go.
So important.
The walls telling you to listen to sing about me. Retaliation strong, you even dream about me. Kill my homeboy and God spared your life. Dumb criminal got indicted same night. So when you play the song, rewind the first verse. About me abusing my power so you can hurt. About me and her in the shower whenever she horny. About me and her in the after hours of the morning. About her baby daddy currently serving life. And how she think about you until we meet up at night. About the only girl cared about you when you asked her. And how she fucking on the famous rap.
I remember you was conflicted, misusing your influence. Sometimes I did the same, abusing my power full of resentment. Resentment that turned into a deep depression. Found myself screaming in the hotel room.
Success Stories, Insights by African American Men. A new book by Reginald Grant, now available on Amazon.com. Cross-generational stories by black men about survival and success in America. Success Stories, Insights by African American Men. A new book by Reginald Grant, available on afamilyofauthors.com or Amazon.com. Success Stories, Insights.
Welcome to the new sound of smooth jazz and R&B.
Get into the groove, guitarist Mark Drummond and Groovometry. Six Strings, One Love, Chill Out Tronica, and Too Smooth for Words
with Daniel A. Nelson.
The new sound of smooth jazz and R&B is available now from Mark Drummond and Groovometry from iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and all digital distributors.
You are listening to Just My Thoughts with Repeating Blue on Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban cultures.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dudes and dudettes, the sexy and the not so sexy, big children and little people that are having lots of great sex, people that are having great sex on occasion, people that are getting nothing right. Yes. Welcome, I'm Novice Lost Poet, my name is the Red, aka Graffiti Blue, sitting here with Rebecca Blant. She's an author, she's a performer, and she talks about sex quite often. We're talking about the funny thing about porn today, and Rebecca, we gotta cut to brass tacks.
Let's go.
The funny thing about porn is the lack of porn going on in people's homes.
Exactly.
I.e. married couples, i.e. you're in a doghouse for eternity. The whole point of the marriage contract, we talk about this a little bit off mic, so we're bringing the shit back. The whole point of marriage, or at least was of marriage, is she will provide you your family name to carry on. She will raise your offspring, okay? She will make a home for you in exchange for the man's protection and sex. Mm-hmm. Now, flash forward 2016. There's a lot of women out there that's just like, you know what? I don't cook, I don't clean, I don't suck, I don't fuck. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty.
There are a lot of men who sleep the same way.
Oh, no way.
Yes way.
Shame on you. Shame on you. Are you talking about dudes with like a slip disc or just a lot of dudes in general?
I know quite a few dudes who in long-term relationships lose the desire to sleep with their wives.
Wow.
I have a very good friend. She's been married over 30 years. In the last 7 years, her husband has no desire.
But I bet you he watches porn.
No, and in fact, they have an agreement. They have a sex date. It's on the calendar every week.
That's the most unsexiest thing right. I've ever heard.
It's like a Google alert goes off.
Can I pencil you in for a shag on the 5th? That shit is... No!
That has turned into her masturbating next to him, which the last several times, he's fallen asleep in the middle of that.
Hold on. Can we cue in some skid sound effects, please? Okay. Stop the car.
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy who makes sex dates on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
He fell asleep while masturbating next to his wife.
She was masturbating.
He
doesn't even do anything. He just watches and then he fell asleep. He was bored before she came.
Crickets. I don't think I have cricket sound effects. I'm gonna have to find them though. Cause I literally, you left my big ass mouth. You left me silent. Like, what do you say to that? Too bad the show isn't live. The phones would be blowing up right now.
There are so many people who do, though, because you get into a long-term relationship, life gets in the way, and you don't prioritize it. And we're told once we're in a long-term, stable relationship, well, sex shouldn't matter that much. You have other things.
You wouldn't know that. See, well, if you feel like that, I mean, I'm never trying to turn atheists into believers on this show. And you feel what you feel, you like what you like. But as for this poet, I've got needs, damn it!
Exactly.
I can't. Oh my God, it's summertime in California. All the beautiful chicks walking around in sundresses with no goddamn drawers on? Are you kidding me? Sex isn't important. Really? Right. Really? You know what I mean? There are some of us, it reminds me of the movie Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible 2, to be exact. And the main bad guy was being questioned by his main henchman. And he was just like, oh, you're going to let her come back into your life? And all of a sudden, you know, because she was on the, I forget her name, she has a lot of controversy right now because they cast her as Nina Simone. She's on the boat. And she's coming toward the bad guy, and the henchman is questioning him like, oh, you're just going to let her come into your life like that? And he tried to punk out the main villain of the Mission Impossible movie, and later on he catches him in like their bad guy room,
right.
And he's like, for some of us who have the problem of sex to deal with, okay? You know, I gotta do what I gotta do. And he cut off his henchman's finger. That's what I would do.
Right.
If you tried to get in between me and my primal needs. You follow what I'm saying? Wow.
Well, I think it goes beyond primal needs. I think for a couple, it's an entire way of communicating. That you can't do through talking, you can't do through writing or anything else. And when you lose the sex, you lose that communication.
Without, and I agree with that. And a lot of people, well, a lot of sex is your own belief system in dominance and submission, right? And a lot of, especially American girls, Western girls, really look at sex as they're doing something extremely submissive and selfless for the man. Now, I always used to shake my head during this because I know many a woman that is multi-orgasmic. Like, men would kill to have, you know, 10, 20 orgasms in a single freaking shag session. You know what I mean? My goodness, you know, women get to carry a child inside of their belly. You know what I mean? And even though, you know, a pregnant woman might disagree, like, this ain't no damn fun. You know what I mean? Wow, you get to carry the life inside of you, which I can only imagine is about as spiritual as you can fucking get.
I would imagine.
You know what I mean? But yet for all that, the average Western girl parting her legs and having 20 orgasms and popping out a beautiful baby boy who would be president of the United States. Oh my God, she's just like, I've got a headache.
Right.
Oh.
Well, and it does such a number to your partner to consistently turn them down for sex. Because if you're the one who's always initiating and getting turned down, you start to question, this is the person I love. This is the person I want to be with. They don't find me attractive. There's something wrong with me. And I know in my marriage to my ex-wife, the last 2 years were sexless.
Wow.
And I kept trying to initiate and stuff. And I felt so horrible about myself and my body that I thought there must be something really, really wrong with me.
Wow.
Because the person I loved most in the world didn't want to touch me.
Indeed. Did you, honestly, on this show, did you have to turn to porn?
I didn't turn to a lot of porn then. Okay. But when I went back out on the dating scene, I found it was very easy. to find a connection.
This is extremely accessible. It's not like back in the day when you had to go to the shop in a trench coat.
Right.
You know what I mean? And get the shit on VHS. And some real greasy guy behind the counter was looking at you like, you can wear that trench coat, but I know your mama. You know what I mean? You know.
Well, and then I found out with, like, going through online dating, as a woman, all I had to do was say yes, and dick was at my door. I really looked at, like, online dating like your takeout menus. You're like, do I want Chinese, Mexican, Italian? Put in your order, and it shows up at your door. Right? And I went through a very slutty phase because I had had so little sex in the last 5 years and had felt so bad that when I finally reconnected, it was like, well, crap, I'm just going to go with this.
Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dudes and dudettes, sexy and not so sexy, people having sex, and people that are not. People that pretend like they don't have any sex, but they're getting the brakes beat off of them.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. I am the novelist of the portal. My name is Wright, a.k.a. Graffiti Blue, and I have a message for you. For those of us who have the problem of sex to deal with, I leave you with this message. Please, if you have a husband at home, ladies, and he's always begging for sex, just fuck you, man. It's not really gonna kill you. If you've been with him for a while, you probably know how to wipe his ass out in about 18 minutes. You could probably, if you're really good, you could wipe his ass out in 3.
18 is actually very long. The average sexual encounter is 3 to 7 minutes.
Holy shit! She's good. That girl good.
Once penetration starts, it's 3 to 7 minutes.
Wow. I wish I could. That 3 minutes was back in the day. Yeah, like, but with the Playboy in my parents' basement. Yeah, a minute and a half probably was my record. But as I became a poet, that is a little difficult. Well, you know, that's another show for another day. And for all of you weird ass husbands out there that for some reason thinking that starving your wife of the cock, and a lot of sisters out there, especially ghetto girls, hate because I'm black and I say cock. Like, it's a cock. My dick is too big to be called a dick. It's a fucking cock.
And my cock is more round.
It's 10 pounds of dangling fury. It was a dick when I was 13.
Right.
I'm just saying. So, for all of you weird motherfuckers out there that like to starve your wives and thinking that's the shit to do, you don't want them paying late night visits to motherfuckers like me. I'm just saying. Now, my own testimony, my comedian / author / performer friend, was I was that guy. I was in a relationship for 12 years, married for 7, and I was extremely love-starved. Even after we hit the 1-year mark of not having sex, I told her. I'm like, honey, do you know it's been a year? And she says, oh my goodness, has it been a year? You fucking know.
How do you not know that?
You've got spider webs between your thighs. What? I think you know. Well, maybe she was getting it from somewhere else. Who knows? Anyway, when I got out of that relationship and I got turned loose after being now in the prime of my life.
Mm-hmm.
We got a little bit of money now, you know what I mean? The pimples are gone, you know. I got a little hair on my chest. I got a little afro. Mm-hmm. I comb it and I brush it. Okay? I went crazy! You know what I mean? The first woman to show me genuine affection, I lost my fucking mind. Only to meet ex-wife 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Just a different, upgraded version of the selfish chick that I fell out with.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, my message is simply this. Starving anyone of that kind of love is dangerous. It causes you bad judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If Bill Clinton didn't get his dick sucked because, you know, Hillary apparently just couldn't do the job.
Right.
You know what I mean? This man has the key to nuclear weapons, man! Do you really want him with a giant prostate at the Oval Office all cranky and pissy? I know.
I call it jizz blocked.
Jizz.
I have a theory.
Let's coin that. Jizz block.
Yes, I have a theory. And the last two roommates that I've had, neither of them got any for an extended period of time. We're talking years, right? And they were the most horrible human beings. Mm-hmm. They couldn't clean for love or money. Just nasty. And they got really cranky and really nasty. And one finally lost it and started punching holes in the wall. I had to call the cops on him. And I honestly think it's because when you masturbate, you release less of the oxytocin and endorphins that come when you have sex with a partner, and it's just the dopamine, so you don't get the same fix. And
you don't. The funny thing about porn is that it is a Ritz cracker at the banquet of real fucking food.
Right.
You know what I mean? And with all the choices out there, you know, all the freaking access on the web, on your phone, you know, all of that shit, it's an appetizer at best.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
But because, and for men, you don't release as much semen.
Right.
I am convinced it goes up and blocks the neurons, and you get jizz blocked, and you become a horrible human being. Like,
oh my God.
I wasn't going to sleep with him, but some woman needed to take a dick for humanity and just fuck him and clear those channels.
Somebody, the message is clear.
Mm-hmm.
Do you. Right. What are your dealings with pornography? Do you write, direct?
I've done all of the above.
Okay.
So I write erotic romance for Amazon every
week. Okay. Nice.
I'm up to about 25,000 words a week for them.
Wow.
Yeah. I write a lot.
I'm actually going to be doing some voiceover stuff for them.
Nice.
Recently. More money, more money, more money. I'm just saying.
I actually had there's a comic out of Atlanta, Vince Bucci, who does the Bucci cast.
Oh, okay.
And
okay. I've stayed in Atlanta for about 6 years, and yeah, he's a big deal.
So on Bucci cast, he had one of my porns, which is written from the female perspective. It's
okay.
A BDSM porn, and he read it in Morgan Freeman's voice. And hearing Morgan Freeman take a dick is one of the funniest things I've heard on the air.
Wow. Hold on. Let's just take a pause for the cause. I gotta play some music because the visual of Morgan Freeman catching one definitely did not look like Shawshank Redemption to me. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I need to chill for a second. We'll be right back after this.
I'm something I can contend in the middle of pipes that embraces and nurtures apathy as if it was friendship.
Question. If you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer, no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Welcome to the new sound of smooth jazz and R&B.
Get into the groove. Guitarist Mark Drummond and Groovometry. 6 Strings, 1 Love, Chill Out Tronica, and Too Smooth for Words
with Daniel A. Nelson.
The new sound of smooth jazz and R&B is available now from Mark Drummond and Groovometry from iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, and all digital distributors.
Sexy and not so sexy, big. You know this speech by now. Welcome! I'm the novelist of all the mind, Anthony Wright, aka The Feed Blue. And this show. Hey, we're talking about a lot of funny things about porn, man. And you know, I caught a visual of the great Morgan Freeman catching an L, and I was shook. You know what I mean? The man played God, for Christ's sake. And I was feeling some kind of way. We're here with Rebecca Blanton, author, performer, a therapist, I would have to say. How you doing this evening,
I'm
dear?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm loving talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Some people that I have on the show, I mean, I only have people that I admire, respect, and or really think are extremely interesting. You know what I mean? You know, when I had met you in the poetry scene, you know what I mean? I was just like, wow, that woman's got a freaking story for real. You know what I mean? So I want to thank you.
Thank you.
For coming on the show and making my ass laugh a little bit harder than I've ever freaking laughed. I've never had to go to commercial because I couldn't talk. So this is a first for Just My Thoughts.
Very good.
Okay.
Very good.
I'm pretty sure you're probably going to do it again because we're going to talk about you working for Amazon and writing stuff for them and some of the weird stuff that goes on with that. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Right. So my main line of income is writing the erotic romance for Amazon.com. And they're on Kindle. They're all under pen names. My publisher assigns them a name and a backstory for the author, whatever. But I do usually two stories a week, one 15,000 and one 10,000 words. They're the cheap downloads on Kindle.
Very nice.
Yeah, and after doing it for a year, they started sending me the more strange things. And I write on my own stuff about kink and all that. But what people are downloading for porn kind of freaks me out. So I've done, there's a lot of shapeshifter. Shapeshifter porn is really big.
Shapeshifter porn.
So werewolves, werebears, werelions, weretigers.
So there is a lane. You know what? Just when you think you know it all.
Right.
Just when you think you've memorized your Pornhub password. Shapeshifter porn? Really?
And one of my favorite inventions is I have a series about werebears. People who shift into bears.
Wow.
And I created an app. Like you have Tinder and Grindr. In my stories, you have Shifter. That's where shapeshifters meet.
Oh, wow.
And it's S-H-I-F-T-R. Wow. Like the rest of them.
Wow. Somebody might be opposed to bestiality.
Right.
But as long as you start off being a human, all that changes everything.
And in Japan, the tentacle porn is really big.
No, oh wow.
With the big octopus tentacles?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that makes sense. That actually makes a strange degree of sense.
Right.
Because every time you mess around with our Eastern counterparts, they're really big in total dominance of the female. Mm-hmm. So what better way to dominate a woman than to have eight arms where you could totally pin her down?
Right.
Wow.
Well, and Japan has quite a history with radiation, so the mutation and stuff shows up.
Right.
So actually you have the political stuff infusing in the porn that way.
Wow.
Lately I've been getting a lot of lactation porn.
Okay.
Which is all around breast milk.
Wow.
And I got one last week, and the prompt included, it's like the Hatfields and McCoys, but between the goth kids in the apartment and the fairies that live in their wall.
Wow. And Amazon money is good money.
Right.
So what do you do?
You're right.
Gotta eat. Lights gotta turn on. A lot of you couldn't even listen to this podcast without the electricity.
Right.
You gonna turn down that tentacle money?
I mean, the fairies voyeurs, because you know that's what you do if you live in a wall. Why not?
Wow.
And it's great, because I get to infuse a lot of humor into the porn, because I find sex hysterical. I think sex is really funny, right? And there's lots of things. So I was doing one lactation porn. It's supposed to be a revenge thing.
Okay.
So the woman's doing a waterboarding scene with her breasts.
Okay.
And I incorporated the line, milk, milk, lemonade, motherfucker.
Milk, wow. Wow. We're not going to commercial on that. Milk, milk, motherfucker, really? Wow. Now, from what I know, you know, I write my first novel, Poet's Pursuit of Pleasure and Emotional Affairs. Shameless plug. Mm-hmm. But if you can't plug your own book or on your own show, there's you no point. Fucking suck.
Yep.
Was an erotic novel.
Okay.
And I did a lot of study in sexuality. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know, what we like and what we dislike sexually is formulated in those neurons have made their connections in your brain way pre-puberty. Mm-hmm. What you have a disposition to, you have learned that, or you learned something about whatever you, however you grew up, made you like that. So if you are one of those ladies who like to get choked the fuck out, not strangled to death, obviously, but you kind of like a man's hand around your neck while you're getting busy, that probably develop before you even hit puberty. And things of that nature. And that was fascinating to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, whatever fetishes you may like or dislike, if there's something you don't like,
right,
you know what I mean? Those things have been formed for whatever your life philosophy is, idealism and all of that good stuff. That shit forms very early. And that is, that's awesome. That probably would explain why when we finally hit puberty, why we're out of fucking control.
Exactly. And it's interesting, when you listen to people's stories of their sexuality, there's a couple of podcasts I listen to, and they'll interview people about kind of how did you get to the place where you are now,
right,
with your sexuality. And for so many, it's very, they have very early memories of things that weren't real sexual at the time, but clearly played into their fetishes.
Right.
You know, when I did an interview with one of them, I talked about the fact that from a very young age, Barbie left Ken in the dream house and went out with Darth Vader on a date.
Oh.
Right? Right? And so it was that dark, powerful force. Mm-hmm. And I had a sport and shaved Ken, and he was just going to go do manscaping while Barbie went out with a man. Right?
Hashtag cuckold.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
And so that came up. But, you know, when I talk to people who are very into rope play, they can remember tying themselves up as kids. Or,
wow,
you know, people respond differently to pain, you know?
Indeed. And no different than how men in power,
mm-hmm,
will often commission a girl,
right,
to take that power away.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We all know movies really exploit that. You know, the rich Japanese dude, mm-hmm, or the rich white guy, mm-hmm, has been seen in movies often, and then a stripper comes and starts beating his ass with a paddle. Mm-hmm. And he loves it, you know, because people are kissing his fucking ass all day.
Right.
And the only thing that can really get him off is somebody taking control of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, sexuality definitely is tied to kind of like your worldview.
Well, and the other thing that I've learned the more I write about this is it continues to evolve. So you have you come into your sexuality when you're young,
right,
with kind of a set predilection for one thing or another. And things happen and change, and as you grow and change, so do your needs and desires. One of the most interesting interviews I've done is with a woman in town. She goes by the name Nomadic Life. African-American woman raised in a Pentecostal family.
Okay. Interesting.
Went into the military.
Mm-hmm.
She was raped at 14, had the baby. So she's had this very kind of confined life. And at 57, discovered kink.
Mm.
And in her 60s, is now one of the big dungeon fairies in town and goes around and does pickup play. And
dungeon fairy.
You know? And okay. Now she's well into her 60s, and she loves all sorts of real kinky stuff and is out there. And she's told me she wants to be the pinup model for kinky grannies.
Wow.
Right?
Oh, grandmothers need love too.
They do. They do.
Grandmothers need love too. Do you have a... Well, shit, I'm almost scared to ask, girl. What is the weirdest porn-related story you could think of off top?
So, one of my favorites is when I was shooting... I shot a film for a competition called FDA Approved.
Okay.
And it shot like a drug commercial, but for FDA Approved cock. Because we all know getting good cock on a regular basis can change your life.
One would hope.
Right? More tolerance for difficult coworkers and family. You sleep better. More flexible.
No doubt. Put her to sleep, fellas. If you can put her to sleep, most women, when they get good dick, want to jog around the block. But if you're really good, after the euphoria stage goes out, she will go down. You going down!
Yep.
You're going down.
And hard. But when I went to shoot the film, I had a specific woman that I wanted to be in the film.
Okay.
I knew her through my burlesque troupe. So I approached her and said, hey, I really want you in this film. And she's like, okay, I'll do it. Great. And I said, well, I want you to pick the guy, because I don't want to, like, randomly pick a dude for you to sleep with on film, right? Because that's a little weird. So she texts me a couple days later and says, I don't know of anybody who's going to be willing to do this. Can you find somebody? I said, I can put out an ad or whatever, but we'll see.
Right.
So I knew her aesthetic. I threw up an ad. In 24 hours, I had over 70 responses from men wanting to have sex on film.
Wow.
So I found one who fit the aesthetic that she liked.
Okay.
And I'm corresponding with him and asking him some questions. He goes, well, who's the female lead in this? And I told him. He's like, oh my God, we used to be friends with benefits. I've been meaning to call her since I got back to town.
Oh.
So I told her, I'm like, do you know this guy? And she's like, oh my God, I have not seen him in like 6 months. It would be fantastic to reconnect.
Wow.
So they came to my porn shoot. They hadn't seen each other in quite some time. They talked about, you know, concerts they had been to and everything in between fucking.
Wow. Wow.
So porn, it brings people together.
Porn brings people together, or drives them.
Right.
If you're, it could certainly do both.
It could.
You know what I mean? Out there right fucking now, there's somebody who thought that they left the door locked and they thought somebody was either at work or school, and they're getting busted with the freaking porn right now. And it's a damn shame. It's a damn shame it is.
One of my favorite comics in town has a joke that since he's become a father, he can only watch MILF porn. Because if he's caught, he can go, look, honey, she's a mother. She understands the struggle as well.
She understands the struggle. Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dudes and dudettes, the sexy and the not-so-sexy, big children and little. We're having too much fun, man. They should have never gave me my own show. We're talking about The Funny Thing About Porn with Rebecca Blanton. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show.
You as well.
Thank you for coming through. Please let everybody out there in Radio Land know how to get in contact with you and how to get a copy of Love Letters to a Unicorn.
So there's easy ways to get in touch with me. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook under Auntie Vice.
Okay.
Very active on Twitter. My blog is loveletterstounicorn.com, which has my performance schedule, my class schedule, and writing. You can find my book on Amazon.com, at Wicked Grounds in San Francisco, and a number of independent bookstores in New York and Baltimore.
Wow, that's what's up. That is what's up. We're going to close this show out with some poetry from a poet friend of both of ours.
Yes.
But before we do that, we need to hear some more sexy music. We're going to hear some sexy music. We're going to come back and we're going to close out with this poem. And ladies and gentlemen, before I sign off, because you're not going to hear my voice anymore after the break, be careful out there. Sex is a wonderful gift. If you have blood flow going to your pelvis and you still feel the slightest spark kindle of a fire that is to come, please fuck somebody, but do it responsibly. You can incorporate porn.
You can.
Inside your routine. It won't bite you. Hell, you might learn something.
You can.
Absolutely. Remember, everybody on film is consenting adults. At least that's what they tell us in the credits.
And sometimes the acts are just for camera angles.
Absolutely. Take care of yourselves, kids. We'll be right back after this. Thank you.
Intention by Sharon. This is my erotic experience with a temptress. Although virgin blood is prescriptive, I mind my distance. But I'm tempted to see more of this vixen, since my suspicion propels into submission. I still want her attention. Who am I kidding? I want to put her in every sex position. From the ceiling to the floor, front and back door, she said enough, but I want more.